It's good to see everybody. Just a word, Aaron kind of touched on it this morning. The Church of Christ, unlike the rest of the world, religious world, the Church of Christ celebrates the resurrection of Jesus every Sunday. Not just on a special day that man has proclaimed as Easter. There's nothing wrong with that. Celebrating his resurrection today. But we celebrate it every first day of the week and every day of our lives for that matter. Because that's where our hope is. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week because we're commanded to do that in God's word. By command and example, we realize that the Lord partakes of the Lord's Supper with us while we are partaking of it, and it's a wonderful thing. And so we don't necessarily go all out for Easter, but we do like to preach the gospel every Lord's Day, and this morning's lesson will be tied to the cross of Jesus Christ. But before I begin, I would like to read a passage from 1 Peter, actually 2 Peter, and that is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Now, on Wednesday night, we have a class, and we're talking about this passage right here. And I'm telling you what, you want to make your calling and election sure. You need to learn this passage right here, as we're doing on Wednesday night. I tell you what, I've been a Christian for many, many years, 51 years. And this passage is like I read it for the first time since I started studying for the class. And I hope to pass that message on to people while we're taking the class. And it's been a great class. And if you're not here on Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to do that. But notice verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him which is contained in this book. Do you have this book with you this morning? If you do, hold it up. Yes. All right. We're going to read from God's word this morning. All things that pertain to life and godliness are right here in this book. Everything we need to know to make it to heaven. Let's pray to God and then we'll start our lesson. Father, thank you so much for your word. Oh, it is so powerful. It is so powerful. Convicts us of sin, puts us on the right track to follow your son right into heaven. Thank you, Father, for sharing the word with us. And as we read it this morning, help us to reverence it by living it out in our lives. Thank you again, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our lesson this morning has to do with the three crosses of Jesus, or three crosses of Calvary. I want to read this little story to you. It's very cute. You probably find it very cute. But it has to do kind of with our lesson this morning as we talk about Jesus and the crosses of Calvary. A little girl named Liz was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother. He had survived the same disease and developed antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. He hesitated for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save Liz." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled. seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die now?" That lesson is, that little story kind of talks about what we're going to be talking about this morning. Here was our scripture reading this morning. We'll come back to that later. That story may make you smile, even sigh at the attitude of the little boy. Yet we know one who was not only willing, but actually died to save not just another, but to save all of us in this room. And Jesus, the Son of God, is who it was. The story of the cross revealed man at his worst, but God still accomplished his purpose. Some of the last words of Jesus on the cross were when he was talking to the thieves. In Matthew 27, verse 38, he called them robbers, the two thieves that were hanging next to him. In Luke chapter 23, verse 39, he called them criminals. In John 19, 18, he referred to them as two others. Both were convicted of a crime. Both carried their crosses up the same hill that Jesus did. Both endured the pain and humiliation of crucifixion. In Matthew 27, verse 44, says that they both insulted Jesus while hanging there. If you have your Bibles, and I know you do, turn to Luke 23. We're going to read verse 32 through 46, the last of this section as Luke records it of Jesus on the cross. Luke 23, verse 32 through 46. Luke says, "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.'" And he was talking about those who were killing him. "And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourselves.'" Save yourself. 38. "And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" One of the thieves continued to slurs against Jesus. One thief had a change of heart. Why is that? He repented. Why is that? Maybe it was because he heard Christ pray for the forgiveness of his murderers. That would have an impact, wouldn't it? Father, forgive them. Looking down from the cross. And it convinced this man on the cross, this criminal, this thief, this is the Son of God. What are some lessons for us as we look at these three crosses at Calvary? The first cross was a cross of rebellion. Notice verse 39. Then one of the criminals were hanged, blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." The man on the cross died in sin. This man on the cross died in his sins, because the last words that he probably spoke to Jesus were words rebuking and slurring Jesus as the Son of God. He joined the other mockers, railing and abusing Jesus verbally. He was in the same predicament, just as painful as Jesus. His heart was not softened by the certainty of death. This man died in sin because he rejected Jesus. In his ministry, Jesus was very clear about the need to acknowledge him. In John chapter 8, verse 24, he said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And certainly that's what this man did. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He did not repent. He did not have a change of heart, even to the very end. And this man, just like Jesus said, died in his sins. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that name is Jesus. But he didn't recognize that. He didn't recognize Jesus. He rejected Jesus. He rebelled against Jesus. And that cross is the cross of rebellion. And then there's another cross, a cross of repentance. In Luke 23, verse 40 and 42, "But the other, answering, rebukes him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? For indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord,'" you hear that? "Lord." He recognized Jesus for who he was. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." What was Jesus' message? Isn't this odd? What was his message? His message was, if you go back and look, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know what that tells me? When he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," that tells me that this thief on the cross had heard the message of Jesus. He knew about the kingdom. And he acknowledged him. He also insulted him, but he repented. This man on the cross died to sin. Right there on the cross, before he died to sin by acknowledging Jesus Christ. He also insulted Jesus, as you remember, yet he repented. And we see evidence of this on his part by the things that he says, his confession of Jesus' deity. "Your kingdom." He had heard the message. He knew the message. His reverence in the presence of deity. "Do you not fear God?" he says to the other one. What is that saying? That's saying he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. His admission of guilt. "We are punished justly," his confession of sin and wrongdoing. And then his confession and his humility. "Lord, remember me." I tell you, if I'm hanging there next to Jesus, that's how I want to go out. With those words still on my lips. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Please note here that this man is not a model of Christian conversion. So much of the world misunderstands the timeline here. This man is not, I repeat, not An example of Christian conversion. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Jesus' baptism had not yet been commanded. Baptizing into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins had not started yet. Why? Because Jesus is still alive. He's still on the cross. This man, when he recognized Jesus, like all those others in the Old Testament who obeyed God's will, they recognized the will of God and they obeyed it. They were justified in prospect of that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's taking place right here. They didn't need to be baptized into Christ. They need to believe in God and do His will on that side of Jesus' death. Because that's all that was commanded. This man right here, Jesus is still breathing next to him. "Lord, remember me." He believed. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He feared God. He had met all the requirements of what a person needed to do according to the old covenant. To believe God and obey God, which he did. Even though it was the 11th hour, the 59th minute, the 59th second, he still did it. He didn't need to be baptized. So many people in the religious world today look at this and say, "Well, the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, so why do I need to be baptized?" The simple answer is, Jesus is not dead yet. You can't baptize into his death, burial, and resurrection until he dies. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." The death, burial, and resurrection was not preached. Baptism into his death, burial, and resurrection was not preached until after Jesus' death on the cross. 50 days after his resurrection. The apostles are going to teach and preach that you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus being baptized into Christ. That's New Testament baptism. So this thief on the cross is not an example of Christian conversion. The point here is to not live in sin anymore. And there on the cross, he decided not to live in sin anymore. And he believed in Jesus. And what did Jesus say? "Today you will be with me in paradise." We're going to both die today, is what Jesus said. And we're going to go to the Hadean world. And in the Hadean world, there's paradise, a place of comfort at Abraham's bosom, and a place of torments for all those who did not obey God. He said, "Today, we're going to the Hadean world." Which side? Paradise. "You're going to be with me there." What is Jesus saying to that man? "You're going to be saved." Man. That I would love to hear that right from the words of Jesus before I die. "I'll see you on the other side, Jim, in paradise." Wow, that's powerful. One thief died in sin because he didn't recognize Jesus. He wouldn't obey. He wouldn't repent. He rebelled. And then one thief died to sin because he recognized Jesus and he repented. And then the last cross there, the one in the middle, as we're looking at the picture, the cross of redemption. Verse 34, "Then Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do.' And they divided his garments and cast lot." And verse 46, "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." Jesus died for sin, for my sin, for your sin, for the sin of every person that has ever lived. He died for our sins. And to have our sins forgiven, we need to obey the will of God. Because what a waste for Jesus to die on the cross if we rebel against him. He died for that thief that recognized him, his sins. They're washed away through the blood of Jesus that he was shedding on that cross at that very minute the thief was talking to him. That's the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, washed away his sins. Didn't wash away that other thief's sin because he rejected and rebelled against the Lord. You see, Jesus was not a victim of unfortunate circumstances, as some religions teach. They killed Jesus. So now we got to go to plan B. There is no plan B. This was the plan. He was not an unfortunate victim of circumstances. He was not a helpless martyr caught up in the plan gone bad. No, he is the plan. That was the plan. He was a willing planner of the plan and participated in the cross carrying out that plan. And the reason he did that was for me and you. Listen to what John says. Well, actually, Jesus said in John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I received, this power I have received from my Father. He was not a victim. He was victorious in what he did. How beautiful is that? Just for me. Just for you. It was our sin for which he died. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My sin is why Jesus was on that cross. Your sin is why Jesus was on that cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that was shed for me on that day. And so were yours. So in conclusion, one man died in sin on the cross of rebellion. One man died to sin on the cross of repentance. And Jesus died for sin on the cross of redemption. We will only die once in this life. Oh, I know people say I died and came back to life, or they have a friend who died and came back. Well, no, they didn't. They got close to it. But for some reason, they went back the other way. The Bible says, and I believe the Bible is true, we die once, and after that, the judgment. So when we die, it's over, people. No turning back. We cross that line into eternity. We die once. The question is, will we die in sin or to sin while we're alive? Will I die in my sin or will I die to my sin and turn to Jesus? If you trust Jesus to save you, obey the gospel today. Die to sin because Jesus died for your sins. He died for my sins. Don't let someone mislead you. Please don't let someone mislead you that you don't need to be baptized into Christ. Acts 22:16 says, Ananias tells Saul, who's going to become Paul the Apostle, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. If someone has convinced you that you don't need to be baptized, they're not telling you what the Bible says. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. I'm not sorry. Why should I be sorry? I'm telling you the truth. You need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Now, you need to believe as well, because baptism is just getting wet. If you don't believe, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Confess that he is the Son of God with your mouth from the heart before men. Romans 10 and verse 10. Repent of your sins. That's key also. If you're baptized, but you go right back to the same old life with no determination to change your life and follow Jesus, you just got wet. You just got wet. Or as some people now say, it didn't take. It didn't take. You ever heard that before? It didn't take. Well, make sure it takes by repenting of your sins. And then submitting to baptism. Romans chapter 6, 1 through, or 4, 3 through 5 talks about we emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, thanks be to God, he rose from the grave, took up his own life again, the resurrection, giving us hope of eternal life. He has the power over death. And he defeated Satan right then. There's no battle of Armageddon. There's never going to be a battle of Armageddon. The Bible doesn't say there is. Somebody's told you that, they're telling you wrong. The battle's already done. Satan lost. And we need to be on the side of Jesus who won. And the side of Jesus is going to contain all those people who obey the will of God. We talked about in class this morning the kingdom. There's a lot of people. So let me say this first. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ, we encourage you to do that this morning. Before you leave, so that you can be saved and start your walk in the Lord. Please do that. Consider what I'm saying. Consider it heavily, because your soul may depend on it. But there are a lot of people in the church who have been baptized. We talked about in class this morning the parable of the wheat and the tares. Guess what? Not all of us in the church are going to make it. Not all of us who have obeyed the gospel are going to make it. That's plain in the wheat and tares, also covered in Bible class. Don't you think Bible class is a little important, finding out all this truth? The kingdom of heaven is like the wheat and the tares. Woo. That's important. Not all of us are going to make it. That means there's maybe some sitting here in this audience, who have been baptized into Christ, but they're not following Christ. They come to worship, but they're not following Christ. They claim to be a member of the Church of Christ, but they're not following Christ. They're not obeying Christ. They're not doing what he says to do. Now, some of it, I go to church. I pray. I even pray when I eat. I pray. Well, that's great. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, there are going to be some who say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these things in your name? And he's going to turn to them and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because you did not obey my will. You didn't do the will of God. Depart from me. There's going to be some people in the church. The parable was perfectly clear this morning. The angels are going to look at the kingdom of God, which is the church. And there's going to be some people in the church who are not wheat, but they're tares, sitting here right beside each other. And the angels are going to separate them. They're going to pull them out and throw them in the fire. And you know what the fire is. It was very clear. It was very comforting. And it's very scary at the same time. We have to do the will of the Father, those of us who are in the kingdom. So there may be some here this morning who need this message of the three crosses. Maybe you thought you're on the cross of repentance, but actually, by your lifestyle, you're living the cross of rebellion. Are you going to die to sin, or are you going to die in sin? Those are the two choices we have. And guess what? It's our choice which one we want to do. Follow the Lord through obedience to the gospel, complete obedience, or not. It's up to us. We're going to sing a song of invitation in just a moment. But before we do, I want to go back to our scripture reading. I should have given Damon this last verse. I'm going to read it again. And listen to the last, well, actually, it's not the last verse. It's in the verse in the next chapter. He says, now then, and this will be it. After the reading, Jake, you can start leading the song. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. Make friends with God, is what that means, through Jesus Christ. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen to the next verses. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Won't you come while we stand and sing?